Ryan, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are talking about Jordan Peele's Nope, his third feature film, and I am very excited to talk about it because I loved this movie. Joining me to talk about it is the lady one returning to the podcast. It's been a while since she's been on, and we had a great time talking about it. We got to know a lot of great puzzle pieces, so that is coming up in a second. Before we get to it, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. And while you're there subscribing, rate and review us. Drop a little 5-star. We'd appreciate that, especially if you like what we do here on the show. You could also follow us over on social media at PiecingPod on the Twitter and the Instagram and all that. And on Facebook, we have the Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces Facebook group, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about right here on the show. So with that said, we've got a nice conversation coming up, and let's just jump right into it. Let's talk about Nope. All right, we are talking about Jordan Peele's Nope, and with me today is the Lady One. Lady One, how's it going?
Hello, I'm so excited to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while since your last time on, and you've been doing a whole bunch of podcasting stuff since then. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I've been out and about guesting from time to time. It's been good.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I'm excited to talk about this movie. I don't know how you feel. I mean, we should probably kick it off that way, just saying, like, have you been a big fan of Jordan Peele's previous movies?
Yes. I really, really loved Get Out. I enjoyed a lot of Us. To me, it doesn't hold up as the explanation continues, and that's my main problem.
Sure.
But the performances and the directing and the writing was great. So I was super, super excited for Nope. And for me, it lived up to every expectation I had. I was blown away. I loved it.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I loved Get Out. Us, very mixed on, but there are things about it that I really liked. But I'm just so happy to, you know, to have a filmmaker that, you know, then comes back and is like, oh, okay, yes, this is the real deal. I'm so excited. And yeah, I loved this movie so much. And I'll probably be gushing about it through the whole conversation. But
perfect.
It's going to be an interesting one. I feel like, I know, like, for my puzzle pieces are kind of all across the board, some very obvious ones, but then maybe some, you know, left field ones. But Jordan Peele himself as a filmmaker, yeah, he's both somebody who I feel like wears his inspirations on his sleeves. I mean, in Us, he had him right there on the videotape sitting next to the TV, yeah, you know? So he clearly is not trying to hide any of that, but at the same time, he certainly is his own voice. And so it'll be an exciting one to talk about, but I've got a bunch of pieces. Yeah. We might as well just jump right in. What do you have for your first piece here?
So my first puzzle piece might be my favorite piece on this list, and it's Back to the Future 2.
Okay.
Specifically the flags hanging out of the sky. As soon as I saw the first teaser trailer, I was like, oh, like the DeLorean at the end. It's just such a small note. It has nothing to do with the plot. It has nothing to do with, you know, it's not like, oh, thematically, this is just like that. No, it's just one of those things that if you see it and you love it because it makes you think of that movie, that's what it's there for. And Jordan Peele does that so well. Like you said, like in Us, just here's the videotapes because I love that movie. And if you noticed it, it's because you love that movie. And
yeah, sure.
I love that he does that. So
yeah, I love that, like that, like that trail of flags like that. It kind of brings to mind Small Town, which is such like a big part of the setting here with Nope. And so like, you know, Back to the Future 2, you know, all those kinds of movies, like, you know, the Amblin stuff and all those kind of things, they all have that small town feel where it just feels like, you know, America stuff, you know, and like everybody's got some kind of trail of flags leading off of something or other. And so, yeah, it's evoked in a totally different way, a totally different kind of story. But yeah, it is very, very much a big part of the movie for sure. I'll go to my first piece, which may be possibly one of my favorites on my list, and that's Cloverfield. You know, I thought this from the trailer, and it continued through the movie in different ways as well. I mean, first of all, when we were talking about the trailer, we always do our monthly trailer roundups where we preview movies and kind of guess what puzzle pieces we think might be.
Yeah.
And I thought of Cloverfield then because everything was just so shrouded in secrecy. We had no idea where anything was going to go. So it was already on my mind, but then the fact that, you know, and of course we're going to get into lots of spoilers here. We always put the spoiler warning, but the fact that, this creature is completely unexplained, we have no clue what it's here for. We know it likes to eat that, like that's basically it, you know, that is something you don't always see in these kinds of sci-fi movies. A lot of time there's like the scientist who explains everything. We don't even know where this thing is from, you know? And so that's the way it was in Cloverfield. Also great, crazy, cool, unique creature design. And then everything centering around capturing it on film. I mean, this is obviously not a found footage movie the way Cloverfield was, but you know, the whole movie is about capturing it on film. So you've got that as well. And then the last connection I have is one of the horses is even named Clover, which certain sections of the internet would say that the Cloverfield monster's name is just Clover.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Oh, lots of connections to Cloverfield, which makes me happy. Yeah. Well, let's go on. What do you got for your next one?
Okay. My next one here, let's just knock out the obvious. This is Jaws.
Sure.
I did an instant reaction on Binge Movies, which is out now. And we were talking about it and he wasn't sure how to categorize the movie, and we were trying not to get into the spoilers at that point. And when we did get into it, I was like, if Jaws is a horror movie, this is a horror movie, because that's what we're working towards here. It's heading towards a confrontation with the beast. So
yeah,
it's Jaws
absolutely
in the sky.
Jaws on my list too. I think anybody is going to come to the conversation and bring up Jaws. I mean, you also have that three-person team, which very much, you know, kind of brings you back to Jaws. The way the creature is beaten, the way that it's kind of played close to the vest for most of the movie, you don't really, you know what it is or see much of it, just little bits and pieces. We might as well just make this a whole aside to Spielberg for a minute here. You know, Jaws, of course, also Close Encounters of the Third Kind, of course, with that small town vibe again, the flying saucers, all that kind of stuff. Jurassic Park, I would say a little bit too. I mean, you mess with nature, it's not going to end well, you know? So you got that as well. And I would even throw a little War of the Worlds since we're talking aliens, you know? So, I mean, there's just so much Spielberg. And I kind of, when we covered Us, what was it, 3 years ago or whatever, whenever that came out, I said back then I felt a lot of Spielberg. Like, I feel like Spielberg and that love of the big cinematic blockbuster is just something so ingrained in Jordan Peele.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something that I have enjoyed so much from him as a director, is being close to him in age. We have the same reference points and a lot of the same things that we're both fans of. And so to see that be interpreted into completely unique and original ideas that just wink to that thing we both love as a viewer and him as a creator, I think for me, that's why I love his movie so much.
I completely agree. Yeah, it is fun to see somebody who also swings so big as a Jordan Peele, but like you were just saying, has those same reference points that we do from our particular generation. So yeah, that definitely makes the whole thing kind of tie together even better than it might have if this, you know, this guy was a lot younger or a lot older. Like it's kind of the perfect melding of influence there for our generation. But what do you got next?
Okay, my next one is, again, this came up when we did our instant reaction on Binge Movies, Tremors.
Nice.
It's hardcore Tremors. And I even actually was reading an interview before this with Jordan Peele where he was like, I love Tremors. Yes, that's on purpose.
Tremors seems like such... I actually haven't seen any of the Tremors movies since... you know, probably the 90s, like back when, you know, the first one came out or something like that. I kind of got to revisit those one of these days, at least the first one.
Definitely. I watched it a couple years ago and I really wasn't it was like, it was that movie that was always on TV. So I didn't really care that much. And I was watching it as like an intentional viewing experience. I was like, oh shit, this is really good.
Yeah. I'm definitely gonna have to rewatch it. I'm hoping there will be more monsters in Jordan Peele's future. You know, we have everything with Gordy. Is it Gordy the monkey? The chimp?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Everything with Gordy is like, I mean, you know, it's a chimp. It's not necessarily a monster, but it's like, you know, just creature based like horror. You know, it's like such a scary sequence, and it's so well done. And then of course our big giant alien, of course, too. But you know, I want to see more. I love social commentary in his movies. I love the horror in his movies. But I, you know, I'm such a sucker for creature stuff. So definitely, I want to see more of that too. Speaking of creature stuff. I'm going to combine a couple of things here. I'm going to go with two masters of horror, both John Carpenter and Sam Raimi.
Ooh.
John Carpenter, The Thing. Yeah. Sam Raimi, the end of Evil Dead 2. But basically just the way that this flying saucer that is actually a living creature is flying around with the screams of the people it's currently digesting, all part of its screaming sound design. Reminded me a little bit of the way The Thing ends up, you know, like sucking up, you know, people's, like, you know, their what would you even call that? Like their essences or whatever. And, you know, and then the same with the end of Evil Dead 2, with when the evil shows up at the cabin and it's got like the heads popping out of all the people that have died so far. So you get that just like horrific thing of all these people this thing has killed are still a part of it. Ugh. And just violent, awful imagery and just really cool
so
stuff.
So disturbing. So wonderful.
Absolutely. Disturbing is the right word. Yeah. Yes, definitely. What do you got next?
So my next one is it's only a puzzle piece because of his previous work. So I have Family Matters. Gordy's Home feels like a TGIF show. And if you have seen the Key and Peele sketch of Family Matters Uncensored, it is pure horror. It is terrifying. And that is why we have these amazing movies that he makes, because he pulls the terror out of situations that aren't inherently terrifying and just pushes it to the furthest extreme. And Gordy's Home was definitely on TGIF, right? It had to be.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would have loved it too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure we would have been watching it. And there's other things too, like everything with Steven Yeun's character, like recalling that and like, you know, calling back to Saturday Night Live and Chris Kattan playing Gordy, you know, like stuff like that. All these like TV memories that, again, calling back to our generation and our very specific points of view that, you know, we would all have grown up with those SNL sketches making fun of this horrible thing that happened on some sitcom that we also all watched.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, absolutely. And Family Matters, of course, a cornerstone of that particular kind of TV. So I love it. Yeah, great piece there. I'll throw in, I guess this would kind of jump off from Family Matters then as a piece, even though it might not seem like it at first, but I'm going to go with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino's latest.
Okay.
I love the blending of real Hollywood with fake Hollywood, which is so just expertly done in that movie. And like we get all of these fake shows that Leonardo DiCaprio's character is a part of, and then like some of the other people around him. And the way that that's all blended into real, like, golden age of Hollywood history, and the way that Jordan Peele blends some of the made-up aspects of this particular version of Hollywood, like, I absolutely love that their great-great-great-grandfather was the guy on the horse in that first film. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I love, like, we were just talking about, Chris Kattan would be the guy that plays
exactly
the chimp. Like, just absolutely perfect, you know? It's just a great blending of real Hollywood history and this imagined Hollywood history for the characters in the movie.
I love it. It definitely has the feeling of that ranch, for sure. The setting out there.
Yeah.
And exactly like you said, the fake Hollywood combined with the real Hollywood all at once. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I would throw in there, like, there's probably a lot of, like, interesting, like, depictions of, like, that, you know, the horse trainer or the animal trainer wranglers, like that kind of stuff, like things of Hollywood that we don't really always necessarily get to see.
Yeah.
There's probably other examples of that, but yeah, I just thought that would be a good one to kind of tie that in. But what do you have for your next one?
My next one is, I feel like it's kind of a little bit lazy, but it's still a good one in my opinion, because I'm saying it, is the Universal Studios tour. That's Ooh. The final last frame of the movie after the credits is that it says, you know, you can ride Jupiter's Claim at the Universal Studios Hollywood tour, which I was so excited to see at the end of it, because the whole time I was watching it, I was like, this feels like that Twister ride I went on at Universal when I was a kid. It feels like Earthquake. It feels like one of those get your own Hollywood experience type of rides that that those parks specialize in. And to see it just flat out be presented that way, I was like, okay, so this was on purpose that I was getting this vibe. Thank you.
I'm so glad that you brought this up, because I actually missed the post credits. I had to run to the bathroom so bad, and I didn't want to miss any of that. Ending is so damn good with everything that goes on, and I couldn't miss any of that. So as soon as the credits were rolling, I had to run. But yeah, I'm glad you're bringing this up. I saw, I think, clips of it on Twitter, and I didn't realize that.
It's just like a frame that comes up right at the end.
That's fantastic.
And I was just like, oh gosh. And did you know that Jupiter's Claim, like, they made a website for it. You can play around.
That's awesome.
I've won some Jingle Jangle over there. And Ooh. Then you can, and then periodically on the website, it just goes all gray and dark, and the horrible kind of screaming ominous tones kick in over the Western music. It's great stuff.
That's fantastic. I got to check that out. But yeah, that's great. And that is such like a dark commentary back on, you know, what the ultimate point of the movie is with like the spectacle, and how, especially in this country, how we just like our whole lives are just built around that,
yeah.
You know, and of course this big horrible thing would happen and then it would be an amusement park ride,
yeah.
Like, of course, yeah. You know, that's just so American and so perfect, and I love that he kind of doubles down on that and in that post credit thing. That's great. That is awesome. Well, I'm going to bring up all the people screaming again inside of the alien's stomach or throat or whatever the hell it is. And I'm going to go to 1993's Fire in the Sky, which I would say is the absolute scariest depiction of what happens when an alien beams you up that's ever been put on camera. And this is kind of up there. This definitely, I think, draws a little bit on that depiction and on trying to live up to that. Because that is, I mean, who could say what real is, but it feels so freaking real to what it would probably be like and how just horrifying it is and just... it's just like the worst thing you could possibly imagine. And that movie does it so well. And I feel like it's one of those movies that like gets forgotten about all the time, but it's so good and people should really check it out.
Yeah. I'm going to have to watch it now.
Yeah. You haven't seen
no.
it?
No. Now I'm afraid.
Okay. Yeah. Watch it. Do. Even if you're afraid,
okay.
Do watch it.
All right. I'm
yeah.
in.
So awesome. What do you got next?
Okay. My next one is a super, super quick and easy one. Akira. Like, she does the slide. You have to say it.
Sure.
That's it. That's
Absolutely.
All I got.
Absolutely. And I've never actually, like, I don't watch much anime, really any anime, but, like, I've certainly seen that moment. You know, it's, like, such an iconic, like, moment. And, yeah, I mean, again, that goes back to Jordan Peele being of this perfect era, you know, like right with all of our interests and people of our generation. So it's kind of cool to see something like that be thrown into it. I guess like the John Wick movies would be like the only other thing I could think of that do it that well, but you know, but yeah, Akira, awesome piece. I'm going to go with, I might as well throw this one in here, a quick one as well. Not a good movie, but I certainly thought of it and figured I'd throw it on my list. Cowboys and Aliens.
I wrote that down too.
You did good. Just not good. I actually saw part of it like last year for the first time since the theater. And it was bad back then, still bad. But we do have Cowboys and Aliens
exactly.
here, so why not? Why not include it, you know?
Yeah, that was going to be my next one. So for my next one, then I'll go with, we probably should have covered it in our Spielberg wrap-up, but they're here. It's Poltergeist. just a little bit. Sure. And we all know what he did for Poltergeist, so we throw that in there.
Yeah.
That one as well. That's my mini one. And then I'm just going to jump to my last one here, because I've got a TV show again. Again, very specific for the era that the television, you know, raised us all. Is Hey Dude. Kid Sheriff is Hey Dude. The poster looks the same. It's kids on a dude ranch. And I remember watching Hey Dude when I was a kid and thinking those were like pretty old kids. And then I've gone back and looked at, no, those were straight up children. I was just a very, very small child. So I thought the 12-year-olds were grown. No.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hey Dude.
I can't believe I liked Hey Dude as a kid.
I loved it.
Because I was not into, like, I didn't like country music.
No,
I didn't
either.
Like Western movies. Like, what was it about Hey Dude, other than being Nickelodeon, that would, like, draw me in? I don't know.
I think it just had to be straight up, there wasn't that much to choose from, and this was children. And so you were like, oh, okay, this is for me.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess there was one adult.
I guess this will do. There's not enough to watch.
I'll take
now
it.
We have too much to watch. Yeah. I've got a couple more.
Okay.
I've got two more like real ones and then one that's too new to really be a puzzle piece, but I figured I'd bring it up anyway.
Yeah.
So I'll start off just M. Night Shyamalan in general. I think it, as much as Spielberg, you have to have Shyamalan. Of course, Signs would be the natural one to go to, but in general, this feels a lot like his first few movies, really. Like, it feels like that the twist, the big insistence on rules, and you know, there's so much mystery to everything going on. I feel like there's so much of that Shyamalan, you know, before the movies weren't quite as successful, you know, although I will stand up for Old last year. I thought Old was pretty great, but you know, he certainly had a run of not as good movies, but those first few movies, this I feel like kind of gets to that same level of intrigue and suspense. And it, you know, that the scene with the kids when they're dressed up as aliens, and like everybody in the theater thought it was real. There was so many people just going like, oh fuck no.
Like, it was terrifying.
You know, like, that felt exactly how it felt to go on opening weekend to those first few M. Night Shyamalan movies, you know. I would definitely throw that in there. I was also going to include Predator on my list, because this alien creature thing, I mean, it blends in while hunting, and you know, it's completely undetectable. And then once it does finally show itself, it's just this big, awesome, beautifully gross, scary, weird thing, you know, just awesome creature design. And so, you know, and there's a lot of like hunter versus like, you know, showing respect and all that kind of thing to the creature.
It has rules.
Yeah, it has its rules and all that stuff.
Totally.
So, you know, I thought a little Predator in there as well.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for Prey, by the way, at the time of this recording. I cannot wait to watch that. The last one I had on my list, which again, is probably too new to really be a puzzle piece, but Ty West's X, which just came out this year and is a great little homage to slasher movies of the 70s, and gets to have these people basically making a porno while they're in this slasher movie that recalls that era of porno. But here in Nope, they're making an alien movie while in an alien movie. And so it's like, it just kind of, it's funny how in the same year you get two things that are so meta in that way of the people like actually making the thing that is happening around them at the same time, you know?
Yeah, so. Totally. No, that's a great one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that Ty West is also a guy who probably grew up to the exact same things that we all love. And so, you know, is now kind of synthesizing them into this newer kind of point of view. And so so that fits as well. So, yeah, we have a lot of puzzle pieces here, but I'm going to run down them real quick, and then we'll get into some closing thoughts. But we talked about, during our list, we talked about Back to the Future 2, Cloverfield, a whole bunch of Spielberg, Jaws, Jurassic Park, War of the Worlds, Close Encounters. Then we got Tremors, The Thing, and Evil Dead 2, Family Matters, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Universal Studios Tour, Fire in the Sky, Akira, Cowboys and Aliens, Poltergeist, Hey Dude, Predator, M. Night Shyamalan, and X. So yeah, a lot of stuff. Like I said at the beginning of the conversation, there's just going to be so much like random things, like obviously horror and sci-fi and blockbuster type things, but then just kind of all over the place too. I love that you brought the Universal Studios tour in. That's good.
Yes. Yeah. I had to say, when you asked me if I would do this episode, I was stoked because I was like, that's all I get from Jordan Peele or Puzzle Pieces. That is what he does. I was just like, yes, this is so easy. I'm down. And I just think that he does it in such a way where if you didn't know any of those references, you're still going to love what he does. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take away from it at all. And I think that's one of the things that makes him so talented is, you know, if you get it, great. And if you don't, no worries. The whole thing is there for you. Everything you need is on screen. You've got it.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. This is like absolutely a bonus for us that like we have all these pieces in mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, my only like thing to like close up, we didn't really touch too much on many of the performances, but I mean, I just think that we should just quickly just shout some of them out. I mean, Daniel Kaluuya and Kiki Palmer are both so good as the main two characters. I didn't really know much of Kiki Palmer.
I love her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, she's great in this. She's so good.
Yeah. She's tremendous. Like, I hope that she gets the attention she deserves after this because she is so talented. She's so funny. She's so she's magnetic as as a performer. And I saw it in IMAX on the Thursday night when it opened, and that was kicked off by an interview with Jordan Peele and Kiki Palmer talking about the movie and what it was about and the experience of making it. And she's just, you know, she's up there as part of the movie, but you feel like all of these questions are brand new to her. And it's like, she's probably spent months on like going through this stuff with him. None of this is new to her, but she's just so good. Like, she was great. I loved her in this. And I loved seeing this subdued role for Daniel Kaluuya. Like, if you think about the trailer, like the first teaser trailer, and then you think about when you've seen the movie, like the creature won't go after you if you don't look at it. And in that first teaser trailer, he barely looks up.
Sure.
Like, he is just head down, he is the perfect nemesis to like take on that beast. And then she is all the attention and all the loud and all the everything. So I thought they were a great duo. I loved the way they kind of play off each other. You really do feel like they're siblings.
That
feels
absolutely
so genuine. Like, he has been putting up with her shit for a long time. You can tell.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Yeah. And I love when they're first introducing them as the horse wranglers, and you're getting that sense of Kilua's, like his personality in there. And, you know, and that all leads to him being, like you said, the perfect person to be fighting this thing because, you know, he's just so like kind of timid and shy, but like, you know, no nonsense at the same time. Mm-hmm. And he's great. And then his dad, I forgot to mention this earlier, but Keith David, the Thing, we got that connection as well. Keith David's freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. Michael Wincott, having him back. It's just incredible. You know, The Crow. I just watched that last year. Just, he is ridiculous. He's such a great character. But yeah, and Steven Yeun, of course, great as well. He does such a good job with this kind of thankless role. He's kind of like an asshole, you know, the character, but it's like, he does such a great job with it. And I mean, that was the only other thing I was going to mention, is bringing up some of these characters. But I just think this movie was great. And did you have any other thoughts that you wanted to bring up before we wrap it up?
No, just straight up loved every second of it. It's cinematically stunning. See it on the biggest screen possible over and over. Because now I want to watch it all over again, knowing what I know. Especially like the opening credits literally start inside the creature. And you don't know that when you're watching it.
That's true.
You're just
I didn't even think of that.
What's this weird rectangle? You just wait.
Yeah, that's right. You just wait. It's coming. Oh, man. Well, I think that does it for Nope. Is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Oh, I will say, I have only been watching deeply disturbing documentaries on Netflix. So don't be like me. Don't watch them, because all they do is make me lose faith in humanity. So just maybe something lighter. Maybe find a rom-com or something. Don't watch
There's
got
to be
watching
one. No, there's got to be something good. Everybody watch I Want You Back. That's a
I did
that's
watch
a lighter
that
movie. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so easy breezy.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, Lady Wan, why don't you tell people where they can find you and your podcast and everything you're up to?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at the Lady Wan. That's W-A-N. And my show, Screen Run, will be coming back for season 3 pretty soon. We're excited to have you back on this season again. We'll plug the hell out of that when it's coming. Season 1 and 2 are already out there in their entirety. Season 1 are the films of Kevin Smith. Season 2 are all of the Alien movies. And season 3 is, you'll have to stay tuned to find out.
I should have brought Covenant up as a puzzle piece here. I could have worked it in somehow. Hey guys, this is David, and I wanted to tell you about Newsly. It's an all-in-one audio super app for iOS and Android. And what it does is really cool, because I don't know, if you're like me, I don't have a lot of time for just sitting around and reading stuff. I'm always either driving or doing something, and just to like sit down and read, it's like, you know, who has time for that? And so with Newsly, you could basically turn any web article into kind of like a podcast, and it reads the article in a natural human voice from basically anything on the internet, anything on the web. And this way, you know, you don't have to sit there reading and scrolling. You can listen to it just like you would a podcast. And it's got podcasts too. Piecing It Together is on there. But then you could also find articles from all kinds of topics, from, you know, entertainment and movies to sports and tech and business, science, all that kind of stuff. So really, if it's out there on the web, you can find it and you can listen to it. And I've been using it as my default podcast app, and you can too. And you can download Newsly right now for free from newsly.me. Check out the link in the show notes. It's available, like I said, on Android and iOS in the App Store and the Play Store. And there's a premium version available, and my listeners can get a 1 month free premium subscription by using the promo code PIECINGIT, but all of the I's are ones. So that's P-1-E-C-1-N-G-1-T, piecing it, but all of the I's are ones. And I've got that in the show notes too. If you're like me, out driving around listening to stuff, and you can't pull over right now, you can check it in the show notes and find that promo code and get that free 1 month premium subscription to Newsly. All right. So I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Jordan Peele's Nope. Thank you to the Lady Wan for joining me on that one. And make sure to check out Screen Run. I will be back on there for this next coming season, and I was on the last season, so check out her podcast. And while you're at it, make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together. If you like what we do, you could also drop a 5-star rating. We'd really appreciate it if you did that, and maybe even leave a little review. We are on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff at Piecing Pod, and you can join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. You know, our next episode will be our trailer roundup, which we do every month. And something we've been doing the last couple of months is at the beginning of each trailer roundup, I also take a minute to look back at the previous month's movies that we covered on Piecing It Together and read any listener puzzle pieces. So if you just listened to us talk about Nope and you have an idea for some puzzle pieces that we didn't bring up, shoot them my way and I will read them on that next trailer episode. So get in touch. Let us know which puzzle pieces you thought of, and I'd love to read them on the show. Last thing to mention here is we do have a Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, of course, also Awesome Movie Year, the other movie podcast that I produce, and from my music career. As a matter of fact, speaking of my music career, you can check out my new single that comes out August 8th. It's called Antiviral. You can get it right now as part of the Patreon. So that's up already for you if you subscribe to the Patreon, as well as some episodes of Piecing It Together that aren't out yet, as well as an advanced episode of Awesome Movie Year. Lots of great stuff over there. Patreon.com/ByDavidRosen. If you want, subscribe. Check it out. So speaking of my music, I gotta, of course, end every episode with a piece of my music, and I don't think there's any choice that would fit better for a movie like Nope than Lights in the Sky. So this is from my first album, Echoes in the Dark. This is Lights in the Sky. There's a cool music video over on my YouTube channel, YouTube/musicbydavidrosen. It was the first music video I put out, actually. And speaking of which, the music video for Antiviral, the new single, will be up in a few days. So check out that YouTube channel. But this is Lights in the Sky. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
An All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.